I want to fly. I'll continue my text from Hebrew. Amen. Can we go on now? Hebrew chapter 6. Verse 1, verse 2, verse 3. Verse 1, 2, 3. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works, and of faith towards God, of the doctrine of baptisms, and of laying on of hands, and of resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. And this will we do if God permit. Praise the Lord. And to go into perfection, amen, we are talking about spiritual maturity. We saw last week that there is the milk of the word and there is strong meat. And strong meat belongs to the matured Christians. And maturity is not determined by your natural age. And maturity does not even, it's not even determined by how long ago you gave your life to Christ. And spiritual maturity is determined by the amount of revelation you have and your ability to walk in that revelation. Because we also have some people that are full of head knowledge that they call revelation, but their actions show that that revelation they have has not benefited them anything, because we are talking about a life that must reflect the revelation you have. And when the Bible where we read earlier says that without faith it is impossible to please God, hallelujah, for the just shall live by faith, and faith cometh by hearing. And without faith, I have explained it several times, the usage of the word faith there is revelation. And without revelation, it is impossible to please God. And the meaning of righteousness. Righteousness is your ability to live a life pleasing before God. And you cannot please God except you know His expectations at any given time. And that is why in verse 4 of Hebrews chapter 11, he quickly went there to give an example that by faith, revelation, Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. All of them came to serve God, but one served God acceptably, but the other one, his own, was rejected because he did not offer that sacrifice by revelation. They all came to serve God. Christians, everybody this morning, they are all going to churches all over the world, but many of them are in wrong places. Many of them carry the same Bible that we are carrying. Why? Lack of revelation. Hallelujah. I have said it several times. When the Bible says in Hebrews, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 20, it says, we are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets. Jesus Christ Himself. Being what? The chief cornerstone. I love the Bible. It's loaded. When it says the chief cornerstone, it's taking you to a building. And God is in the process of building a spiritual house for Himself. And the chief cornerstone there determines when to bend. When you should bend in that building. Hallelujah. When it is time now for this line of revelation according to His timetable. and you refuse to recognize that he has bent this way, Jesus is saying now, it's time to go this way in the building. And you continue to go this way, you are out of his will. Anything you do here will never be acceptable unless you follow here, where he says you should follow. And you can never know it until you know the divine agenda. That's why we are talking about the divine agenda. Praise the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'll continue to try by all means, God helping me, to let somebody understand God's program and this agenda and give you reason to walk in this way that you have found. I'm talking about the end time message. I want you to know where we are now, how and when we arrived where we are now, and what next to expect. So that like Apostle Paul spoke to the Ephesians, the reason why we have the ascension gifts. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 12, where he says, so that we shall not be tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. Doctrines, you know, now here now, the move go. Now here now, the move go. Now here now, the move go. Amen. Amen. But something establishes you. And what establishes you determines where you go to worship. Amen. I love my brother from Kano, who watched us just on air like this through this same television station, the Bright TV. Called Catholic. The day he surrendered, he called me and said, now I have seen it, I surrender. Now, there's last week or so, he called me, he said, we directed him to an intermessage church in Kano. And when he got there, but the distance is too far from where he lives. And he said he's only a laborer in a factory. And so he cannot afford it. He said, though that church said they will be giving him transport money. But he said, how can he, who should be contributing to the ministry, be going there and be collecting again from the ministry? He said, while he's waiting, he doesn't have a car. But while he's waiting for his condition, he says, so any day he does not have any money to go to church, he said, can he go and worship in any church around, because he believes that he should not sit at home on a day to worship the Lord. Now, he made a statement, that is why I remember the story. He said, now that he is established, that nobody can confuse him anymore, he said he believes that he can enter anywhere and worship now. I said, that is the ego. That is the ego. And that is the purpose of this ministry. That is the purpose of this television station. That is the purpose of all our broadcasts. That is the purpose, not to make you our church member, but to make you a member of the body of Christ. Wherever you are, you have a standing because of a revelation. A revelation you have. A revelation. A revelation. We are not this ministry. It's not just about gathering the people in an address somewhere at the Jesha Lagos. No! There are more people connected to us now than the people sitting down here. All around the world. That are getting excited by what they are hearing from here. That is what is giving us, the ministers here, joy. So when I'm speaking, I'm not speaking to only those of you sitting down here. I'm speaking to you hearing me now. Wherever you are. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So we are continuing with God's agenda. There is an agenda. That is why we know we are in the end time. Everybody says end time, end time, end time. And this is the end time because God has a program. And this program is a mystery. The program will be ending. And we are coming to the end of that program. It is a program for restoration. Restoration back to what he did or intended it to be in the Garden of Eden. And last week, we ended by my emphasis of the fact that whatever happened in the Garden of Eden was already foreknown by God. And the whole process going on itself is a mystery. And these mysteries are scattered here and here in the scriptures. But God, using the voice of the seventh angel, released an anointing of understanding that has opened our eyes of understanding to begin to understand God's move so that we know where we are now. And I brought our attention to Romans chapter 18 and verse 25. How that God himself subjected the scripture to vanity willingly. He did that. Subjected the creature, we, the creator made we his creature. He willingly created us and subjected us to vanity and places us therefore in a position where we continue to hope and hope and hope and hope. And that's why in that scripture it said, for the whole creature, you know, is groaning for the manifestation of the sons of God. And the manifestation of the sons of God will be in the millennium during the 1,000 years reign of Christ, when Christ and his bride will come to rule on earth here. And there will be peace. There will be peace in the animal kingdom. There will be peace in the, among human beings, the whole creature. There will be no more war. A lion and a goat will sleep together, no problem. The Bible says so. Hallelujah. But for now, a goat and a lion cannot stay together. Praise the Lord. But in the millennium, the Bible says so. There will be no more untimely death. Death is recorded in the Bible will be a punishment to the disobedient. If you hear anybody die, it's God that killed him because he committed an offense. And because you don't want to die, everybody will leave. Je. I say everybody, not we. We have already passed to glory. Amen. And the Bible said that a human being, a man, will be 100 years in that period. And they will say he's a baby. Like we look at 1 year old child, and we are saying that's a baby, is beginning to walk. They say if you die at the age of 100, they will say he died on family death, died a baby. Why? No sickness, no disease, no epidemic, no bad weather, no storm, no mosquito, no malaria. No witches, no wizards. Because the power that released that is in the bottomless pit. You remember why we are living. That is the period that the whole creature is groaning and waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. Praise the Lord. So the mystery there is that God himself did it. All of us are in hope. Please allow us to read some scriptures because this is a study. Go to 2 Peter chapter 3. That is the hope that we are subjected to. This is the way he put it in verse 13, 14 and 15. He said, nevertheless, we, according to his promise, the promise that gives us hope, that's making every one of us to hope for, we look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Because here now, frustration everywhere. There are some things you read in the newspaper, you hear in the news that makes you wish you are not part of this earth. Somebody will stand up and go, what are you struggling for? Go into a boarding school and open fire and kill all the school children there in the hostel. To achieve what? That the policeman said a man is chasing his wife. He's suspecting that his wife is going out and then carry gun. When they are kill the woman, kill the king, kill himself, kill every five people, then turn the gun and kill himself. It happened last week. It happens that a group of people will come together and say, we are going to rob, and rob from house to house, street to street, gang, and all manner of things are happening. A few days ago, there was a rainstorm, and the storm was so much, beating places, removing places, and the thing was hitting my window and hitting everywhere. I say, oh, in the millennium, we won't have this. The hearing of all manner of things. Amen. That is why we are looking for a new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. And account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation. He wants to save you. That's why he has not come. Hey, brother, promise. If he had come before you went for that water baptism, where will you be now? All of us that live very useless life before, it is his long suffering, his mercy that endured until we came in. Now that you have come in, that's what Apostle Paul is saying. Amen. Know that it is for the purpose of your salvation. That's why it is long suffering, endurance, all this while. Even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, has written unto you. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, but why did God, church, listen, we are going deep now. We are not talking about water baptism. We are not talking about Godhead. We are not talking about a woman, don't paint your face, don't wear a ring, don't wear a trouser. Man, don't beat your wife. Woman, don't abuse your husband. That one, we don't pass that level now, where we are now. Amen. It's expected that we all know all this one. Pay your tithe, give offering. Love one another, love God. Don't fornicate, don't do this one. That is milk, milk, milk. Let's go to maturity. That's what we are doing now. So, this one now, listen very well. Because you will not see this in any bookshop. Let's fire on. Why did God allow the fall? If he knew that as he's creating the serpent, he knew that this is why they create. So after I create man, he's going to cause man to fall and katakata for the next 6,000 years, confusion on earth here. Yet he didn't stop it. Amen. God is God, it's not like us. If you pick a house girl and you have a dream, say the house help is possessed, so when you wake up, you say, I beg back to sender. It's normal now. It's normal. Eh? Before you marry a man, you discover that you have a dream. Every dream you see him like Dracula, they suck blood. Will you see marry the man? Oh. But this God knew that his own dear children, Adam and Eve and the whole of mankind, will fall through this creature I am creating. And yet he created him and left him close to them. Didn't even drive them far. Why did he allow it? It's a mystery. But it is revealed to the bride in this age. Praise the Lord. It is for just one reason. It is to display his innate attributes. Nothing more. If you are quoting what I have written, I say, it is to display his innate attributes. Something that is innate, something that is in you. You are created with it. You are born with it. It's part of who you are. Your innate attributes. God, amen, is God. You know, at one time we had a lot of argument. I had a lot of calls from all around the world. And I had arguments from people sitting down here when we made a statement that there was a time that God was not God. It's a mystery, isn't it? There was a time that God was not God. Amen. And the reason is simple. Because God is an object of worship. The word God is not a name. God is nobody's name. God is an identity. It is a name. It is a description, I mean. Not a name. But it is a description of any object of worship. And you are not God until you have something that is worshiping you. Amen. This being that we call God today is a self-existing one. At least that is the much he has let us know. Till today we don't know how he has come about, and he has refused to reveal it to anybody how he has come about. He only said, and the Apostle Paul, he got the revelation when he manifested in the person of Melchizedek. And in chapter 7 of Hebrew, Apostle Paul told us that this Melchizedek who that Abraham met on the way, amen, see who he is. He has no beginning of this. He has no ending of this. He has no birth date. When was he born? No birth date. The reason is because God does not dwell in time. He dwells in eternity. Time is in him. Oh, I don't know how to describe this. That is our God. Oh, hallelujah. He has no father. Apostle Paul says so in Hebrews chapter 7. He has no mother. He has no lineage. He has no tribe. Igbo people, God is not an Igbo man. He has no tribe. When you see Igbo people, they sing for their language. You would think as if God is an Igbo man. Nalayo! God is not even a Jew. God is not a Jew. He was self-made. He has no beginning. He has no ending. He is eternal. Hey! That is your God. That is the God we serve. When he wants to do something, the Bible says, because there is none greater than him, he does not take counsel with anybody. He takes counsel with himself. When he wants to swear, you are supposed to swear by one that is greater than you. So, there is no greater than him. So, he swear by himself. Hey. That is our God. But that being, amen, in him are attributes that he wishes, according to his own counsel, to display. Our existence today is part of the display of his attributes. He said he created us for his pleasure. For his pleasure. Don't even ask him why he created like that. Amen. Now, inside of him are attributes. One of the attributes in him is there is something that craves worship. He is an object of worship. It is part of, see, when you see somebody that is drinking beer, there is something inside of him that is craving for it. When you talk about addiction, you are addicted to something. There is something inside of you that is craving for it. A fornicator, anytime you jam woman, your body go charge. If that thing is inside of him, God, hallelujah, desires to be worshipped because there is something that is desiring worship. And to achieve that, to satisfy that aspect, he created angels. That is the purpose of the creation of angels. One purpose, to worship him. We see that in several scriptures. 24 hours of the day, all those angels are there in different grades. The cherubims, the seraphims, the ones with wings, they were just holy, just holy, holy. And he's sitting on the throne and he's receiving worship and holy and holy and holy and holy and holy and holy. Hallelujah. And so he satisfied that. And everything you see in existence today is nothing but God himself, praise the Lord, displaying his attributes. When you want to understand this, amen, then you will understand why concerning Pharaoh. Pharaoh, amen. God sent Moses. Go to Egypt and tell Pharaoh, let my people go, that they may serve me. Then he will send Moses there. Then he sent God again. We go to Pharaoh and harden his heart. It's a mystery. So that Pharaoh will say no. Then God will come to Moses. He said no. Okay, I will show him that I am God. Go and turn out the waters to blood. He did it. Go now. When Pharaoh sees this one, he will let you go. Small time. Moses is going confidently. At least now you see this one. What happened now? You go leave us. Before Moses reached there, God will go again. Harden his heart. And then he will refuse. So the question is, why are you blaming Pharaoh? Why are you punishing Pharaoh? When you have the ability to tell him to let my people go. Abimelech one time took the wife of Abraham. He denied. God went and warned him. Leave that woman. Oh, you are finished. He woke up the next day. Why you don't tell me, say not your wife? Amen. Praise the Lord. But see what he said. Let's open Exodus. Chapter 9. So that you will fear God. Me, these are the things that make me fear God. You don't fear God because you have no revelation of who that God is. I'm telling you. See what he said. Verse 16. Amen. Verse 15 and verse 16. For now, verse 15 says, for now, I will stretch out my hand that I may smite thee and thy people with pestilence, and thou shalt be cut off from the earth. God is telling Pharaoh. And in very deed, that's where I am going. For this cause have I raised thee up. For to show in thee my power, and that my name may be declared throughout all the earth. That is why I raised you up, Pharaoh. That is the only reason why God decided. Amen. That is his reason for choosing Pharaoh. So Pharaoh is God's servant. He chose Pharaoh so that he will use Pharaoh and have the record we have in the book of Exodus that God can do and undo to enable him display certain power that he has to let the whole world know that there is a God that ruleth in the affairs of men. He raised a man for that purpose. You have to understand him. Amen. When 400 years earlier, some I don't know how many years earlier, with Abraham, he told Abraham that thy seed will sojourn in a strange land. He said they will remain there, and in the fourth generation I will come and deliver them with a mighty hand. So he knew it. He planned it. Why? He decided to raise Abraham, raise his seed, his covenant people, and he allowed a Gentile nation to keep them in bondage so that at the appropriate time he will come, hearing their cry. Their cry will bring him down, and then he will use it as opportunity to tell the world that he can do and undo. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So this is how Apostle Paul captured it in Romans chapter 9. Revelated Apostle Paul. This is how he captured it in Romans chapter 9. Let me read it from verse 15. I told you we shall be doing a lot of reading within the time we have today. Let me read it from verse 15. For he said to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then, it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. So you are not saved because you are anything special. It is the mercy of God that found you. If you catch that revelation, you will become very humble. Verse 17. For the scripture said, is quoting Exodus, where we just read now. For the scripture said unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. Therefore, had he mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he hardeneth. Thou wilt say then unto me, why doth he yet find fault? For who has resisted his will? Can you see? Why does God then find fault? Why is he finding fault with Pharaoh? Who can resist his will? Why will you perish? Why will you deal with Paul with Pharaoh like that? Destroy him the way you destroyed him. Why will you do that? This is the answer of verse 20. Nay, but O man, who art thou that replies against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? Hey, yeah. Put your finger there, we are coming back there. Go to Isaiah 29. Amen. Okay, let's finish this reading. Let me take it systematically, let me not jump. Let's continue. Verse 21. Let's continue. Romans chapter 10, chapter 9, verse 21. Has not the potter, let's complete it, the potter, power over the clay that he used to make that pot, of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? Can you see the God that we're serving? What if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endure with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction? Have you never asked yourself this question? All these evil people, ritual killers, all these people, destruction, all these people that are making us suffer in Nigeria, stealing our money, corrupt government officials. Why is God, and they are jumping from church to church, and men of God are blessing them, and the masses are suffering 24 hours here since the past 9 years. Every day we are running on generator in this place where I live. Every day, 24 hours na generator. We spend, and now the worst of all, even now, then you go and look for fuel to be able to put in that generator. There is no fuel. Ha! And God is looking at them. Witches and wizards are operating freely, and God is looking at them. This is the reason Apostle Paul has said it. Apostle Paul has said it. Amen. Hallelujah. Verse 22 again. The reason is simple. He said, what if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endure with more suffering the vessels of wrath fitted for destruction? He is allowing people to be evil. Continue, do your evil. He's enduring it. Why? He's waiting for a time that he will display an attribute of a destroyer himself. And before you can destroy anything, you must let the thing to be bad. So that even that thing, when it is still destroyed, the thing will not say is bad. When an armed robber is condemned to death, he knows he robbed, he knows he killed. Does he cry? He doesn't cry. All of you enjoying evil, continue. God is waiting a time for him to display another attribute he has. That he is a consuming fire. It's an attribute he has. That he is a consuming fire. That fire, he provided it and left it. He's waiting for the appropriate time. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Let me finish that reading. Verse 23. And that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he had afore before prepared unto glory. Some of us here, from the beginning of the world, he has prepared another place, a place of glory also for us. Even us, whom he has called, not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles. As he said, also in Hosea, I will call them my people, which were not my people. And we are the ones, Gentiles. And her beloved, which was not beloved. And it shall come to pass, that in the place where it was said unto them, ye are not my people, the Gentiles, there shall they be called the children of the living God. Praise the Lord. Go to Isaiah 45. Isaiah 45. Hallelujah. Isaiah chapter 45 gives you another very wonderful picture. It's not only Pharaoh. He used Pharaoh to display one negative attribute that he can destroy, and that he can choose any man to achieve his purpose. Where we are reading now is concerning another man, King Cyrus. Israel was in captivity. The whole place brought down. The city destroyed. Now they are in captivity. And it has reached the time, hallelujah, that God will bring them out. And a prophecy was going out of who God will use for that purpose. And let's go to chapter 44 first before we come to chapter 45. Hallelujah. Verse 24. This is the way he put it. Let me read a little fast so that we can cover some ground today. Thus said the Lord. I'm reading Isaiah 44 and verse 24. Thus said the Lord, thy Redeemer, and he that formed thee from the womb. I am the Lord that maketh all things, that stretcheth forth the heavens alone, that spreadeth abroad the earth by myself, that frustrated the tokens of the liars, and maketh diviners mad, that turneth wise men backward, and maketh their knowledge foolish, that confirmeth the word of his servant, and performeth the counsel of his messengers, that said to Jerusalem, thou shalt be inhabited, and to the cities of Judah, ye shall be built, and I will raise up the decayed places thereof, that said to the deep, be dry, and I will dry up thy rivers. This is where I am going. That said to Cyrus, he is my shepherd. And Cyrus was not a Jew. He was a Gentile. An unbeliever. An idol even worshiping king somewhere. Amen. That said of Cyrus, he is my shepherd and shall perform all my pleasure. Even saying to Jerusalem, thou shalt be built, and to the temple, thy foundation shall be laid. Chapter 45, verse 1. Thus said the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus, an unbeliever. God anointed him and called him his servant. He said, whose right hand I have holding to subdue nations before him, and I will loose the loins of kings, to open before him the two lifted gates, and the gates shall not be shut. I will go before thee. And this promise is to a Gentile king, though. I will go before thee and make the crooked places straight. I have seen Christians quoting this scripture and quoting it without first going back to the origin of that scripture and who it applied to. I will go before thee and make the crooked places straight. I will break in pieces the gates of brass and cut in sunder the bars of iron. And I will give thee the treasures of darkness and hidden riches of secret places, that thou mayest know that I, the Lord, which called thee by thy name, I am the God of Israel. For Jacob my servant's sake, and Israel mine elect, I have even called thee by thy name. I have surnamed thee, though thou hast not known me. An unbeliever. I am the Lord, and there is none else. There is no God beside me. I gather thee, though thou hast not known me, that they may know from the rising of the sun and from the west that there is none beside me. I am the Lord, and there is none else. I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. Hey, God creates evil. In another scripture, he said he created evil for the evil day. I, the Lord, do all these things. Drop down your heavens from above, and let the skies pour down righteousness. Let the earth open, and let them bring forth salvation, and let righteousness spring up together. I, the Lord, have created it. Verse 9. Woe unto him that strifeth with his maker. Hey, listen. Let the potter strive with the potters of the earth. Shall the clay say to him that fashioned it, what makest thou, or thy work has no hands? Can you question it? Woe unto him that said unto his father, what begettest thou? Or to the woman, what hast thou brought forth? When I was reading this scripture, I remember all these carnal men that questioned their wives, who are looking for baby boy, and then baby girl came forth, and they will be accusing the woman. Come, what are you born like this? It's in the Bible. It's wrong. It's very, very wrong. Every life comes from God. It's wrong for a man or a woman to complain to God. Oh, why you give me only girls? Why you give me only boys? Oh God, when you do that, you don't know you are creating a, you are making a grievous sin. People don't know it. No human being has power to create anything. No life comes from any human being. All life comes from God. The perfection comes from the devil. Life comes from God. But a deformed person is something that caused that person to be deformed. That is why there must be restoration on earth here. Stop it, believers, listening to me around the world. Listen, don't you ever grumble when your wife, born man or woman, contrary to your expectation. I read it again. Woe to him that said unto his father. Praise God. Praise the Lord. There's one comedian that I listened to one time. You know, these comedians, sometimes they can be very, very funny. Say a Nigerian woman got pregnant living in Europe. The husband and the wife all living in Europe. And then the woman got pregnant. When it was about 8 months, she traveled to America. Stayed there. When it was almost 9 months, she traveled to London. When it was almost the very week to deliver, she traveled to Lagos, to Nigeria. And as soon as she came out of the airport, labor started. And born that pikin for Nigeria. Say, now the pikin grow up, finish. Say, I had the opportunity to be born in Europe. I lost it. I went to America to become an American citizen. I lost it. To London. To become a citizen of London, UK. You move away. Of all places, you go bomb me. If not you, what will you tell your father? Your mother? So they gave him Nigerian passport. Woe to him that said unto his father, what begettest thou? Or to the woman, what hast thou brought forth? Thus said the Lord, the Holy One of Israel and his maker. He said, ask me. I love this scripture. Ask me of things to come concerning my sons and concerning the work of my hands, commanding me. And it is things to come. That is why we are taking this study. Amen. Verse 12. I have made the earth and created man upon it. I, even my hands, have stretched out the heavens and all their hosts have I commanded. I have raised him up in righteousness and I will direct all his ways. He shall build my city and he shall let go my captives. Not for price nor reward, saith the Lord of hosts. And if you go to verse 18, he continues, he said, for thus said the Lord that created the heavens, God himself that formed the earth and made it. He had established it. He had created it not in vain. God did not create the earth in vain. He formed it to be inhabited. God created this earth to be inhabited. I am the Lord and there is none beside me. He created this world. The earth here is to be inhabited. This world will never be destroyed totally, but the systems of the world shall be destroyed and all the wicked shall be destroyed, and that nobody can defeat the purpose of God. That is why there is an agenda for restoration. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So he's built here. As far as I look back and in the multitude of revelation that God has given us in this age, I always look at the earth as God's own laboratory where he decided to choose to display his attributes. Angels have lived on this earth before. There was an angelic dispensation on this earth. It was here in this earth they were tested. It was here on this earth that Lucifer fell. They were here. Here also, there was an animal kingdom. After the angelic kingdom, there were animals that populated this earth. They also fell. There was confusion, which gave, that is the gap between Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 and verse 2. And the earth was without form. Something happened that made the earth to be like that. It was the animal kingdom. Something happened. Then, he decided now to start with man. Praise the Lord. So you have to understand also why he allowed man to fall. The reason is so that he can display another attribute. He is a father. He's not a father of angels. No. The relationship he had with angels is the relationship of a master and a servant. But to be be able to display the attribute of a father, he had to create a son, Adam. The way Adam was created is different from the way other creatures were created, other animals were created, even angels were created. So that they can call Adam my son, and Adam can call him my father. And the genealogy, hallelujah, of Jesus, trace it down. Adam is referred to as the son of God. Amen. And in him are the attributes of a savior. And you cannot know that God is a savior. That attribute cannot come to play unless, praise the Lord, unless something precious to him is lost. So that he can become a savior, he allowed his children to be tempted and be lost to Satan in the Garden of Eden. So that he can be a redeemer. Because he's a redeemer. You cannot say he's a redeemer when there is nothing that is lost that belonged to him originally. So that he can be known as a merciful God. In him is mercy. In him is a forgiver. In him there is a healer. He will have to let his children be sick. So that the sickness is incurable, then he can come down. I am the Lord that healeth thee. He's a restorer. So he can allow your life to be destroyed. So that he can display the attribute of a restorer. Restoration. He's a miracle worker. Things impossible, he will do it. From nothing, he will make something. Amen. So he creates the condition to display his miracle working ability. Yes, and all the other attributes he has as a mighty warrior. He's a warrior. That is why when it was time for him to take out his children to the wilderness, where he would have followed to the promised land. Not even only the promised land. He did not choose a desert land anywhere. He went to where people were already occupying. And said, this land where all these Canaanites are dwelling, I give to you. Why you don't go another place where people know they dwell? Why? Because he is a mighty one in battle. Hey! He wants opportunity to fight. Before there can be fight, you must look for trouble. That is why he took them. To be known as a miracle worker. That's why he took them through the sea first. Other road today, he said, no, pass through this way. Is there anything a father cannot do? Hallelujah. And we know what happened. It has never been known that it is ever possible. Nothing came to the head of anybody. Even Moses that was going like that. Where will I go? I'm sure as they reached the river, I got told, whether this God they see. No, if it's you, you'll think the same thing now. Come, what did happen? See, oh, Father, that's why. Amen. He was crying, and Moses was crying too. We are finished. And God is saying, why cry? Speak. Speak to the people, move forward. This Egyptian should see today. Amen. I am saying that you say, I will not see them again. And maybe because I'm going to die now, I will not see them again. No. Amen. And he put this down for us to know the God we are serving. Praise the Lord. By this water, hypertension, diabetes, ulcer, cancer, HIV, AIDS, cough, chest problem is over in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I declare this water a hormonal drug in the name of Jesus. I declare this water the medicine of the Holy Ghost in the name of Jesus Christ. The whole world know that there is nothing impossible with God. Hallelujah. It's a mighty one in battle. He will bring them to very fierce battle. Then God will come down. There was one battle that it was raining bombs from above. Stones. Stones were falling down from heaven. Smashing from above. From above. Amen. So that people will know there is a God in Israel. Not only Israel, the whole world, we know there is a living God. Praise the Lord. And like I say, it's also a consuming fire. It's a consuming fire. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Therefore, with all this in mind, we cannot know that the divine agenda started from the foundation of the world. This agenda of salvation. Hallelujah. That is where we come to predestination. The doctrine of predestination. There's a way. I want you to underline this scripture, Isaiah 46 and verse 10. Underline it in your Bible. I have underlined it in my own Bible. Isaiah chapter 46, am I correct? Yes. Verse 10. Verse 9 and verse 10. Remember the former things of old. For I am God and there is none else. I am God and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning. God, He declares the end from the beginning. Every one of us sitting down here, before God created you, He knows the day you will end and how you will end. Declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times the things that are not yet done. Say, my counsel shall stand and I will do all my pleasure. Somebody shout pleasure. Pleasure, pleasure. Pleasure. That is that which pleases Him. He does that which pleases Him. He does that which pleases Him. How many people know a poultry farm? A poultry farm. Poultry farm. Any farm at all. Animal farm. You keep all those animals. Amen. And then you choose some and you call them the layers. This one, broilers. And then this one is not the same animal, the same one that you brought them. But why? It is your own pleasure. I need this one for this. I need this one for this. I need this one for this. And the one in that category should not ask the person who keep them in that cage, why you they make me broiler? And the other one, this one, he say it is for his own pleasure. Maybe we buy all of them and carry them and come here. He created us. Amen. When you know this, you will stop challenging God. Why did He make me an African? Why did He make my hair like this? Why did He make me short? Why did He make me pangale? Why did He make me fat? Why did He? Why? Why did He make me black? Why did He? How? You may not say it, but your actions show that you disagree with God. When you palm your hair, you are saying you don't like the way God made your hair. That's why you carry chemical. To spoil the natural texture. Somebody catch that. People commit sin, carry Bible and speaking in tongue, and they don't know they're under the hammer of God. Living a life of, why do you make me like this? And he said, woe to anybody that asks that type of question. You didn't say it with your mouth, but your life says it. Why are you bleaching your skin? Because you are asking God, why you make me black? Why are you wearing high heel shoe? Is it not to increase your height? Why are you, but God, why God, why do you make me short? Why are you putting attachments?
You are saying, God, why did you give me short hair? Why did you give me India hair? People don't know it. They think it's just fashion. And every fashion, anything that originates for Satan, his aim at making you to be in problem with your maker. Anything. What is all this painting you paint your face from? The origin of painting face come from idol worshipping. It's idol worshippers. They use chalk and design to look like devil. You know now, all those who worship mermaid, they carry chalk. When they tie one white cloth, they design their body and they dance under an anointing. Is that not what you are doing? Why will you paint your nails? Paint. Why are you painting? It's a spirit behind it. And how I know it's a spirit is, no matter how a preacher like me tell you it is wrong, you are not able to leave it. Anything you are unable to leave, even when it is confronted to you, from the scriptural point of view, and you a Christian cannot leave it, you are possessed. Go for deliverance. There's a spirit that's making you do that. Praise God. People don't know the meaning of possession. The demons appear in different ways. Different ways. When the Bible forbids you put tattoo in your body. You say, where is it written in the Bible that we should not wear a ring? You see? Praise God. Did God create you, sister, with a hole in your ear? Hole in the ear is a tattoo. And any Christian woman, you are hearing me now, and you born your daughter and you put a hole in that ear, even where it is said, a time is going to come when our children that will be coming in generations to come, that will carry their parents to court. Yes. Why did you pierce? You were torturing me. You put this hole in my ear. You are the one, mama, you are the one that put this in my ear. Did I ask for it? Any Christian woman that hears me now, and you pour your daughter, and you put that hole in the ear of your daughter, God will confirm to you by doing something to let you know that what I have spoken is thus said the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. He, God, declares the end from the beginning. Acts chapter 15 also. There's a way, Apostle Paul, I think it was James. James was the one that mentioned that. I think it was James. Acts chapter 15. I think it's verse 18. 18. Yes, it was James that said it. Among those disciples, verse 18. I also underline it in my Bible. Known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world. God has always known all his works from the beginning. In John chapter 1. In John chapter 1. Verse 1. Paraphrasing it. It says, in the beginning. Which beginning? Was the word. The word there is a thought. In the beginning was a thought. And the thought was with God. And the thought was God. The thought was with God in the beginning. Which thought? Through foreknowledge, God himself knew that as he will be creating man, right from when the thought of the idea of creating man came up, through his ability to know things in advance, he, God, knew that the Satan, through the serpent that he will create, will scatter his plan. So, right from that time, before he even created Adam, there was a thought. See how that two groups of people from Adam, when Adam falls,
something will happen that the whole creation, all men will be condemned to death because of the cause of sin. But he, through foreknowledge, got to know that out of these billions of people that he can see on earth, there are two categories of people. One category are the categories that if I come and offer my hand of salvation on them, they will never believe. But there is another group also on earth, among those billions of human beings, that if I make a way of escape for them, if I offer salvation to them, to whom is the, who will believe our report, Isaiah 53, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? If I offer the gospel, the news to them of salvation, they will believe and follow me. Two categories of people. Then another attribute of this was ignited. Mercy. Another attribute was ignited inside of him. Redeemer. Another attribute was ignited. Savior. In the beginning, therefore, he now had a thought. The thought of how he will save those group of people that will believe him when the time comes for him to show them salvation. And then he knows every one of us. The Bible says, every strand of hair on your head. He knows the number of hair. He knows how many, every one of them. Every one of us. He has counted them. Omniscient God. He knows everyone. Before they were created, he knows them. Before you came here to sit down here, 1 million years ago, God knew that you will be sitting down here. You'll be here. You'll be here. Today. Amen. So, because of that, he, God, therefore, decided to make a provision for their salvation. And he decided that he will create a human being by the name of Jesus Christ. And that he will send him as the propitiation for our sin. He will be our advocate. He will be our high priest. He will be the sacrifice that will be offered. For without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. Through his sacrifice, our sins will be remitted from the foundation of the world. Before the world was created, before Adam and Eve was created, he, God, he, the beginning, was the thought. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So 1 Peter chapter 1 makes it clearer. Are we there? 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 18, 19 and 20. This is the way Apostle Peter put it. He said, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but what are we redeemed with? With the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world. When was he ordained to be the sacrifice for our sins? When? He said, before the foundation of this world, God was manifest in these last times for us. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. That's why you see in Revelation chapter 13 and verse 8. Let's read it all. Revelation chapter 13 and verse 8. Concerning the Antichrist. See those. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Those who will worship him. Those who will worship the Antichrist. See. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb. Slain from when? When was Christ slain? When was he slain? From the foundation of the world. But in history, when did he actually manifest? In 1833. Am I correct? He died in 1833. But as far as God was concerned, He settled his matter from the foundation of the world, in the mind of God, in his divine timetable. The same thing also, chapter 17, Revelation. Verse 8. The beast that thou sawest was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit, and go into perdition, and they that dwell on the earth shall wander. See the people that will wander, whose names were not written in the book of life. When is the book of life? From the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was and is not and yet is. The book of life, when was it written? When was it written? From the foundation of the world, by foreknowledge of those whom he knows, if he offers salvation, they will believe. He knows everyone. Therefore, he wrote their names in a book from the foundation of the world, before he created Adam and Eve. That is the God we are serving. That is the depth of the mystery of salvation. That God is not gambling when he's saving us. He knows who everyone is. He knows whether you will believe or you will not believe. Whether you're a pretender or you're not a pretender. And salvation is not for all. Because it is not every living human being that has his name in the book of life. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Then you understand 2 Timothy chapter 1. Amen. This is the way Apostle Paul put it. Revelated Apostle Paul. This is how he put it. Verse 9. See. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 9. He said, no, let me read it from verse 8 so that we just understand the picture. He said, be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus. When? When, church? He gave us that grace in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Before the world began. Hey. You see why I see myself very special. That God has written my name somewhere. Ephesians chapter 1. The same Apostle Paul. Verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. According. Somebody shout according. Oh, say it again. That is in line with. Amen. In line with an agenda, with a program. According as he has chosen us in him, Jesus. Before the foundation of the world. When did he choose us? When did he choose us? The day you gave your life to Christ? Was it the day you gave your life to Christ that he chose you? No. It is because your name is in the book of life. That is why the Spirit of God came to save you. If your name is not there, you will never be saved. How those preachers that say, Father, write their name in the book of life. They don't know anything about the book of life. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Romans 8. Are we there? Verse 28 and 29. And verse 30. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. To them who are the called according to his purpose. What did he call you? For a purpose. So be careful when you say, God called me. For what purpose did he call you? The potter and the clay. Some vessels unto honor and some unto dishonor. But by the same potter that created all of them. God called me. Yes. But for what purpose? There are some that he has called only as borrowed vessels. The same way he called Pharaoh. The same way he called Cyrus. The same way he called Balaam. The same way he's still calling some people today. And they are true servants of God. But a servant is different from a son. A servant is different from a son. It's different from a child of God. You must understand that. He called you according to his purpose. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. That's the mystery of redemption. That is hidden from the foundation of the world. God hid it and revealed it to his bride in this age. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Praise the Lord. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Verse 29, he explained it now. For whom he did foreknow, foreknowledge, as I have explained, he also did predestinate. Through his foreknowledge of knowing the end from the beginning, he now predestinated, knowing that if I reveal myself to you, it may be under any condition. It may be in a prison yard like me. It may be a hospital bed like some of you. It may be through some deadly sickness, HIV, cancer. It may be also through frustration, marriage problem. One negative condition, he can use it to push you. He knows, if I do this, this is what we believe. Knowing that, oh glory be to God. He said, he predestinated, that is, your end was determined before you began. Hey, Jesus. Am I talking to somebody? No, the person I'm talking to will be very excited. No, that is certainly. The person I'm talking to will be excited. Hallelujah. No, I am not telling you to be excited. Listen, church. I didn't say get excited. No, excitement does not come by command. Listen, excitement comes by a revelation. Hallelujah. Anybody that gives you order to come to the altar before you come out and give your life to Christ, you came at the will of the pastor. Amen. But if it's a conviction, Apostle Paul called it godly sorrow that worketh repentance. That type of repentance, when you come to the altar, you never come back a second time. Praise the Lord. I say, something should make you bluff the devil. Every Christian, you are born again, bluff Satan. You are a special tool in the hand of God. He calls you the apple of his eyes. He said we are engraved in the palm of his hand. If God be for us, who? He said, who can harm us if we be followers of that which is good? That's what the Bible says. My end, heaven has been prepared for me before the foundation of the world. And every seed of God, wherever you are, like my precious brother, when it was your time, it struck you. The light of the word of God will strike you wherever you are at the appropriate time. Listen, church, when you come to this church here, when you listen to us, when you decide to be part of this glorious gospel here, we are the last attempt of God to gather the remnant of his own, whose names are in the book of life. Father, my God, you own my last breath. You have the final say over my life. That's why I must worship you, Papa. I must worship you because before the foundation of God, you put my name in the book of life. I must worship you for the sacrifice you offered for me, Lord. To worship you. Before the foundation of the world, we have been predestinated. What is our destiny? To be conformed to the image. I'm quoting verse 29. To be conformed to the image of his son, Jesus Christ. That he, Jesus, might be the firstborn among many brethren. You need to have the impact of this before you can beat your chest and say, I'm a Christian. You are not a Christian until you compare yourself with Christ. In your attitude, in the life that you live. That is our destiny. Your destiny is not to be a billionaire. Your destiny is not to be a millionaire. Your destiny is higher than that. And until the image of Christ is formed in you, you cannot call Christ your elder brother. And so you cannot inherit the same thing that he too inherited. It's important. Then he went further. Moreover, verse 30, whom he did predestinate, those that he has predestinated through his foreknowledge. They are the ones he called. Hey, Jesus. They are the ones that he called. Hey, listen. Matthew 11:28. Come to me. All ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. What does it say? Confess with your mouth. Believe in your heart. And confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and you shall be saved. Can you confess? Have you said it? Say after me. Lie. He came to John chapter 6 verse 44. He said, although I say come to me, he said no man can come to Christ except the Father who sent him draw you. That's another mystery. Nobody can come to Christ except the Father that sent him draw you. Nobody can be a Christian unless God makes you a Christian. So why does he make some Christians and he does not make some Christians? Through his foreknowledge of your response. Your name is in the book of life. You are the one he is calling. You are the one he is calling. You are the one he is calling. Those in the book of life, you are the one he is calling. How many of them are here? Jump up and say, thank you, Lord Jesus. That's who we are. That's who we are. This is how he put it. Get the impact of verse 30 very well. It's very deep. That verse 30 is very, very deep. So that you'll understand why some people will never understand the correct water baptism. They are reverend doctors, but they can never understand. Because it is not everybody's sin that must be remitted. If your sin is remitted, then you must go to heaven. Verse 30 again. Read it carefully. He said, moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, if he's the one that called you, them he also justified. Justified, he will place you revelatory wise, cause you to know and go for all your sins to be remitted, bringing you under the blood of Jesus Christ, so that your sins are remitted. The rest, they will never know that revelation. Yet they are going to church. Yes, they are speaking in tongues. Yet they have anointing, casting out devils, doing crusades. Under them, people are giving their lives to Christ.
Amen. Brother, promise you can never accept water baptism in the name of Jesus. A young man like you, under the influence of denominational jukanos that you belonged. You are an academician, being in a university campus. You are full of English. You have every language to follow those errors. If your name is not in the book of life, amen, you can never see it. And there is something. William Branham preached a message. I also preached it here. That we title it, I title my own, Convinced and Convicted. I say, you have to be convinced first. When you are convinced, we are talking about repentance now, repentance. You have to be convinced that you are a sinner. You are a sinner. Then, you now know that all that sin, the soul that sinner shall die. So, you are now convinced you are a sinner. Now, you have convicted yourself. Because you are convinced, now you now know that I deserve to die. That is the conviction. Amen. Now, because you desire to die, you don't want to die, then you will be concerned for your life. If you are not convinced, you cannot be convicted. It is conviction that makes somebody cry when he gives his life to Christ. You deserve to die. Hellfire is waiting for me. What must I do? Men and brethren, on the day of Pentecost, what shall we do? That is the conviction. That is the conviction. Then they got the solution. You be concerned. My brother was convinced. And he got concerned. And you quickly look for where he would do correct water baptism. Now he was living a life of righteousness. He could boast that you cannot find sin in me. But he suddenly discovered that righteousness just is not enough. There is something I must do to be saved. My sins must be remitted. I did it wrongly. Let me do it correctly. That is the concern. That is the concern. You are still living in sin because you are not yet convinced that sinners will go to hell. Because nobody here wants to go to hell. Anybody here want to go to hell? Nobody. Nobody wants to go to hell. Nobody wants to go and suffer. Nobody wants to go and suffer. But the truth is this. The life that you live determines whether true. You don't want to go to hell. You don't want to go to hell. When you, that's the meaning of conversion. A lot of us are just religious people. You're going to church and say, I'm a Christian. You see why people don't like this church now? You see why many people don't like this church? Because their Jew is not preaching like this. Why are you making people feel guilty? The church I went to preach in Germany, they told me that the pastor said that man came and is making our members to feel guilty. It's not good. Don't condemn anybody. Don't condemn anybody. Can you see? There are people that are ordained to lead other ordained people to hell. Hallelujah. This is church. Christianity is serious business. Stop joking with it. Praise the Lord. Oh, I've not finished by starting. Let me finish it and close. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, it is the one that called you, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified by the baptism of the Holy Ghost. The baptism of the Holy Ghost is given only to those whose names are written in the book of life. And when I say the baptism of the Holy Ghost, I am not talking about the operation of a gift by an anointing. There is the anointing of the Holy Ghost and there is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. The anointing of the Holy Ghost comes upon you when God wants to use anybody like Pharaoh. Nebuchadnezzar was God's servant. Anybody can be used. And all the anointed people, that crowd are following,
They are God's servants for a purpose. But the baptism of the Holy Ghost goes beyond gifts. It comes on you to convert, transform, regenerate, change a sinner to a saint. And any anointing that is on you and your life has not changed places you where you humble yourself to the word of God. Places you in a position where you love God so much you don't want to hurt him. Places you where you fear God. Places you by a revelation and gives you a desire to be in heaven and every means of running away from hell. If that is not the response to the anointing you have only received an anointing. You are not yet born again. Nothing. And only those whose names are in the book of life goes that far. I know I'm talking to somebody here. Praise the Lord. We are looking at the divine agenda. And all I've been able to establish today is that it is not by accident. It was designed before it started. You were saved before you were born. He said, I love him because he first loved me. And purchased my salvation on the cross of Calvary. And all of us, predestinated seed of God, he decided to save us by the way of the cross. That's why that symbol of faith, the cross, means so much to us. Can we stand up? Hymn number 167. So I cherish the old rugged cross. Can we be on our feet? Let the soldiers of the cross sing it. That is our confession. Let's go now.
On a hill far away, stood an old rugged cross. Now emblem of suffering and shame. And a Lord at the cross, where the dearest and blessed. For a world of lost sin and lost way.
Everybody,
so I cherish that day rugged cross. Feel my trumpet. Feel my trumpet. Is the last I lay down. Then I will flee. I will flee to the old rugged cross. And exchange it someday for a crown. Oh, the old rugged cross, so despised by the world as a wondrous attraction for me.
Yes, sir.
For the dear love of God,
let the glory of the
Lord, let His glory
above,
to bear it to that and me. Hallelujah. So I cherish,
yes, sir. Oh, yes.
In my trophy, in my trophy, it's the last I lay down.
I will cling to
the old rugged
cross.
And exchange it for a crown.
Yes, sir.
In the old rugged cross, stay with us, so divine.
I want to rest.
Beauty I see.
Yes,
for the
Jesus on the old cross.
Jesus
suffered and died to pardon us.
Yes,
sir.
Oh, hallelujah.
Sisters, let me hear the brothers. That goes when you give your life to Christ. That's a shame that will follow you. But I'm not ashamed of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation, ordained from the foundation of the world unto our own glory. This water, hypertension, diabetes, ulcer, cancer,
HIV, AIDS, cough, chest problem is over in the name of Jesus.
I declare this water hormonal drug in the name of Jesus. I declare this water, the medicine of the Holy Ghost, in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Verse 6, 7, 8 says, the